Thank you. Hello, am I on? What? Hello, all right, oh, I'm on. I think the thing about obedience is that God is not the chief Dalek, is he? If God was chief Dalek, he'd say, obey or be exterminated. Yeah, I'm glad. Did you get that? It's like you've fallen asleep on me. Or was it too low budget? It was too low budget, really, wasn't it? And I think I had this. Where's that scripture gone? It's a little word. I read this the other day in John. It said, the man took Jesus at his word. That's like obedience, isn't it? He took Jesus at his word. And before a man got home to see his little boy who was really sick, very ill, someone ran out of the house and said, here, he said. That's West Country talk. He said, he's healed. He's healed. Isn't that amazing that God can heal by distance? Yeah. Yeah. Good. Pardon? Don't be well behaved, please. Be rowdy and participate. Nice, well, whatever. So I'm chatting to Dave much, aren't I? And congratulating him on his prophetic intercession with regard to Liverpool being top of the league. And he says to me, you got the wrong colour on. I thought, well, fluff me. I thought Everton gave him some joy yesterday by beating Chelsea. Did you? Yeah, that's all right then. Yeah, I won't talk about my team. Bristol City have gone down the tube. So I'm reading this magazine. Anybody from Bristol here? Anybody from the south? Oh, good, good. Yeah. I've been here 20 years and they still think I talk funny, you know. So I'm reading this magazine. Do you know what it is? It's an Elim Church magazine called Direction. And I skim through it and I miss the important page because it's him and her. Yeah. And a whole bunch of rogues there. There they all are. Dave Much looks like he needs prayer on there. Yeah, you're there. You're going, you know. A bit like our youngest granddaughter who's sort of 15 weeks or something. I don't know how old she is. But she go. There it is. This handsome couple. They're all right, aren't they?
They're all right.
Yeah. Have you not noticed there? Yeah, it was quite good, actually. I'll show it you later because you'll only read it. And so I think God has got something for you as a church. So what I'll do, I'll sort of dribble on about it, shall I?
Yes, please.
Okay. Anybody remember their first car, or have you not got that to that point? This is going back a few years, but our first car I paid £35 for. Now, that must be going back 100 years. And it was a Ford Pop, you know, one of those that you sort of, you had to set up, I don't know. Anyway, it was more your colour. It was sort of powder blue, that colour, powder blue with a red radiator. And we lived in South Bristol on this hill, and we needed to live on this hill because it would often not start. This is a word for you as a church, so hang in there. It's like the church being the first car, you know. And I thought I'd gone to heaven. It was fantastic. It actually went. And Chris and I used to drive. The thing was, when we had our friends, Mike and Joy, in the back, and we're going through Bristol up this big hill called Park Street. Anybody know it? It is pretty big. The car stopped because it wouldn't go up the hill with Mike and Joy sat in the back. So they had to get out and walk up the hill, as they did a number of times that day as we went out into the countryside, because the pesky car wouldn't go. And we sold it finally for £25. That's not bad, is it? Made a £10 loss. You wouldn't do it out these days. But you've been a bit like that. What you call yourself these days? OCF? Yeah, Ormskirk. You've been a bit like my Ford Pop, which has been brilliant, but it's almost like God wants you to go up a massive gear. And I've had sort of certain cars, and I quite like them. And, you know, I sort of think about nice cars. Anybody else like that? Two? I bet you do. Oh, there, yes. And I just feel like what God is saying is he wants, it's time for you to go into a new level. is time. I think you're sort of prepared, being prepared for that. And it's like, I can't say it's going to happen tomorrow, but it's a sort of a spiritual evolution. It's time to go up to a new level, church. It may not be a 35-pound car. It might be one of those that I saw coming up in this garage. It was a Range Rover, 33 grand. You know, that's a lot of money. It's a lot more than the first house we bought, and somebody, you know, you understand. But I feel like it's time for you to go up, to go into a new realm, a new level. Some of us like it in the cave because we can talk to God, but all that we hear back is our own voice. It echoes back. And he's calling you individually or you corporately out of the cave in order for you to, I'm sorry, but to stand on the edge. Mm-hmm. It just sort of makes sense to me. He's calling you to stand on the edge. You know, it's time to get out the cave. It's time to find yourself. Those words that have been spoken sure meant a lot to me as I thinking, hang on a minute, you're almost saying what I want to say. It's time to get out on the edge and find God. Now, when Elijah came out, God really spoke to him, you know, about the drama and the wind and the fire and the earthquake. Do you remember the story? God wasn't in that. It's funny, he was in the fire a few chapters back when the fire came down. He's not in the fire this time. I can't make out God, can you? Just as well. Yeah. But he wants you to stand right on the edge because it's almost time to jump off in the spiritual realm and fly. It's there. And God spoke to Elijah in a what? In a whisper or a authorized version. Come on, still, small voice. So amidst all that we're going to do, and I feel like you're on the edge of a supernatural breakthrough of his manifestation of power, he wants you to bear in mind the still, small voice. In other words, be still and be small. Now, if that hasn't come out this morning, I'm going home. It has to me anyway. It's time to be still and to be small. He's moving you to a different place. And Mitchell family, it is not a time to be concerned about the circumstances in your lives. It's not a time to be concerned. Anxiety and concern and maybe a little bit of pesky worry and all the issues that confront you, I mean, you need to be cloned. You need to go to school in a hologram so that you can do other things at the same time. Amen. That may not happen. It may not happen. You never know these days. Holograms might come about, mightn't they? I mean, you could go and see Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin, can't you, these days? Because they're there in a blinking hologram. Can you believe it? But you hear their voices. By the way, Karen Carpenter was good on the drums. Wasn't she? Well, Karen Carpenter just started playing drums, not singing. Did you know that? So her voice is going to be something too, isn't it? Tell her that. Well, I've forgotten her name. Rebecca. Yeah, Ellen. Yeah. Anyway, back to something. Mitchell's is because I feel like God is saying, Michael, that you're a man of security, so that you don't have to do everything in the church. Isn't that good? Because so many leaders, male and female, hold on tight. This is not a couple that holds on tight. Because God's giving you the wisdom to delegate securely and draw in a larger team because the foundations are being built for something big. I don't, you know what I mean? To see this place filled with people on a Sunday morning is going to be a reality. Amen. You'll be wondering what we should do because you'll have a problem of this place being too small. Wouldn't that be interesting? Amen. And I mean, I've been around you 100 years, I don't know how many years, it's for like 20 or 30. Flipping out, you must have been about 3. And it's, you know, we've had our moments, but there's something happening. There's something going on, and I cannot explain what it is. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God. But he's calling, and I feel like he's going to give you wisdom to release people, and you're secure enough to release people into giftings and ability that you haven't got. And that is a major thing, people, in the church out there, because so many pesky leaders, and bless them all, eh? They're so insecure, they want to control a lot. We don't want any of that anymore, do we, to be honest? Fed up with all that Japanese clap. Do you know what I mean? They've got trouble with their R's and their L's, but...
Yes.
Oh, come on. I'm nearly speaking Chinese out there with old Confucius around, you know. You are. Ni hao ma. That's Mandarin. Yeah, that's all I know. Chow mein. And I feel like he's going to open doors. That was what finished that thing, wasn't it? That great video. There's a door. Doors are going to be open for people not here who are going to come into a relationship with God. And some of you lot, especially the five in front of me, where I was sat there, there are people out there that are going to attach themselves because they're hungry for reality. It's not just that five, I'm sure. But you're going to see them come right into an experience and a relationship with God, which might really kick you up the bottom, you five, because he's drawing you closer. I didn't know where that came from, but never mind. Oh, no. And this is a strange prophecy, isn't it? Eh? Are you? Is it all right? But so he's calling you to move up. How that will happen, God will give you wisdom. It won't just be to him, but, you know, there's so many of you that can come into a new role, into a new identity in God, even into this term leadership. I consider you're all leaders until you... tell me otherwise, or show otherwise. Why not? So be prepared. It's a time for you to just do what was that scripture? Isn't it so good that I can't remember it, but I've written it down? Jesus, the man took Jesus at his word. And sometimes we're too philosophical and sophisticated, aren't we? And we miss it because all he wants us to do is to take him at his word. You'll hear that if we ever get there. I need to go early because I'm going to a jazz festival later. Is that all right for a Christian to do that? Yeah. To see their granddaughter sing, is that all right too? Yeah. She's all right too. Yeah. So it's time to take Jesus. Are you getting all? Is it taped?
Yes.
Or recorded? I'm really pleased about that because I didn't mean to do all this until I got here. Just happens, doesn't it? So be prepared. Movement. The trouble with transition, there's always a storm in it. And as I looked out the window this morning, sometime when most of you were asleep, I would think, about 9:30. No, I'm joking. It was much earlier. I could see the clouds sort of scudding considerably fast across the sky. This whole storm was coming in from the west. And the wind is going to really blow today across the UK and many places, maybe here. A real October storm. But I feel like the wind is beginning to stir up into an area whereby change will come by the breath of God, the wind of God. Wind can be destructive. Well, let's say, God, just take down everything that's not of you, as we heard from the testimony, and just strengthen everything that is of you. That's going to happen, church. And my prayer is, God, raise up women and men who think they haven't got much, but you're going to release so much through them. I'll come back to that, I'm sure, soon. I've stopped. Maybe bits more might come out in a minute. So there it all is. Do you like my ruler? I used to be a surveyor of valuing property, so this was really handy. It's handy today because I can deal severely with people that don't look or don't listen. So I'm going to start in Ephesians 3:20. Maybe I've already started, I don't know. And you'll note a scripture. It is a strange one in the message. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work," where? In us. Oh, so he's able to go beyond measure, really, beyond measure. Isn't that interesting? Immeasurably. But it's according to the power, word dunamis, The dynamite or the dynamo, the consistency of God, the Spirit of God in us, he's able to do immeasurably according to the power that works in us. So that says to me, I'm not assuming, I'm taking it for granted, we all have that power, that measure of the Spirit. If you haven't, as was said by Dave rightly so, it's time to come to Jesus. Maybe by... I'll challenge you, if you really do want to come, interrupt me. Just come out and we'll pray. It's no problem, is it? We don't care. C'est la vie. I just want God to do what he wants to do, don't you? Now, the message, that interesting translation says this, God can do anything, you know. You know, you say, oh, really? You know, far more than you can ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Do you not have wild dreams about God? The thing about God is Aslan is not safe. Think about that. Our wild, but he does not do it by pushing us around, is what it says. I like that. Don't you? You don't push us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently in us. Don't you like that? Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So it could be read as exceedingly abundant. He's able to do exceedingly abundant, which above all, it means beyond above all. I didn't think you could get beyond above all, but God is beyond above all. It's amazing, really. It's more than we can ever ask or think. So if you don't ask for much, it's more than that. Sometimes we have not because we don't ask. I say ask. Anybody say ask? Yeah. What do you say, you others? Ask. Yeah, it's true. It's fun, isn't it? Mumme. Our granddaughter used to say mumme or tumme. Anyway, never mind. Where's the power? It's within us. The energy of God, the indwelling Holy Spirit is within us. It's true. It's fantastic. The indwelling Spirit. Yet we need the Spirit within to ask right. Doesn't it say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? I thought that meant I could ask for anything and he'll give it to me. Wrong. The Lord is my shepherd and he'll give me what he thinks I need. Oh, it's a bit better, isn't it, I suppose. So it's abundantly more, super abundantly more, abundant in large quantities, copiously, profusely, and lavishly. On my Mac, there's a thesaurus, so it's handy, isn't it? God is lavish. He's overwhelming in the way he wants to bless you and I. And we go, oh, yeah. Fantastic. Infinitely, vastly, massively. If you read the news or see the news and read the papers, yeah, it's important, isn't it? So this satellite's gone outside the solar system, hasn't it? Yeah. What's it going to find? I sort of read this morning somewhere quickly, I don't know what I was doing, that it's picked up strange sounds and noises. So maybe there's someone out there looking at, I don't know, do you? But the universe is so vast. But it's beyond God's ability to bless and to give is immeasurable. It's beyond that. Isn't that something else? Yes, you all said with joy in your hearts. It's enormously. And I suppose we've seen God move, haven't we? In a measure, which to me is brills. Now, I want to say again, look out. I think as we begin to take God at his word, all the man did was sort of say, yes, okay, thanks, Jesus, very much. But he had some faith there to believe. How much faith do you need? I don't know. But don't let anyone ever say to you, you've not got enough faith. I don't think that's on, really. And we have over the years. A lot of times that's happened to us. And I really would want to say very politely to them, bog off, wouldn't you? You know, but maybe one doesn't. So the depth of God, the gentleness of God, to me, it's fantastic. And to grasp hold of that, I think, is raising up some sort of standard for his kingdom. Church, you're on the move. Then it says in Ephesians 1, 17, 22, where should we start? Oh, I don't know. But I do more than thank, I ask. This is the message. Ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent, thank you, and discerning in knowing him personally. Your eyes focused and clear. Give us those, Lord, so that you can see exactly what he's calling you to do, to grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for Christians. And oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy and boundless strength. So isn't that good? So he's within us, giving us endless energy and boundless strength. There's the conflict really, isn't it? Somehow I want to shut up and rest. Maybe you want me to shut up soon. Hard luck. No, it won't be long. And rest in him and then allow him to move in our hearts, which to me is fantastic. In other words, it's to see the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power that he's worked in us through Christ who has been raised from the dead. He's worked a great work in us, you know. It's incredible. It's resurrection. I think one day it's going to really dawn on me. I do, and I don't know how I'll be. That's why it says in the Revelation, there was silence in heaven for half an hour. I don't know how long half an hour is in that context, but we were all gobsmacked, you know, because of what we saw, what we sensed and felt. Incredible, really. So here's the challenge in all of that. Do you measure up? This is the thing. You know, to measure up, if he says immeasurable, the pressure on so many of us, including me, is that I need to measure up. So when Jesus came out of the water in Jordan, when Johnny Baptist baptized him, it says heaven was ripped open and a voice came out, you know, this is my son, or that's my boy, you know, and I love you and I'm so pleased. If I'd have been Jesus, I'd have said, hang on, Father, I need to do something in order to measure up to your words. Then you can say you're pleased with me. But Jesus didn't. Do you know why? He was so safe and secure in the Father's love, he knew he didn't have to do anything to please the Father. He'd already pleased the Father by being who he is, was, whatever grammar you want to put in there. But I seem to think that I have to measure up. Well, you do not measure up because you should be here. And the thing is, it's not just him and him. We're not the only frail and broken people in this place. We've all got a touch of it. But something within me, it's like this voice comes, you need to do this to please God. But the trouble is, that voice will just move the goalposts. Oh, I want to give you a kiss. Oh, she's gorgeous. You know, it's just like... And the goalposts get, and I've got to do something else. I've got to try and achieve and achieve and achieve. But he's saying it's immeasurable. You cannot measure up. This boundless love and this grace of God, it's superb, isn't it?
Yes. Amen.
I've heard more noise. I've actually never been to Anfield. No, I've been to Everton. Sorry, mate. It's never enough. I have to do more. But isn't he saying it's immeasurable? God can do anything beyond our wildest dreams. No, not for me, because I can only go thus far. And it's like you're locked into law when he wants to break the chains off and set you free. I'm fed up with being a Pentecostal chicken, aren't you? Or a charismatic turkey. I want to be an eagle, don't you? I want to be free to fly. I want to go into the storm. You know what eagles do? They fly into the storm. Every other animal, bird, goes the other way, and they flick their wings and go over the storm. They use the storm to get over it. Remember that, you two. They use the storm to get over it. Isn't that interesting? Is God a grandfather, an uncle, or a cousin? Or someone else? In other words, is he too far away? Does he live round a corner? Is he sort of around somewhere? Has he really got a concern for me? Well, you obey, you know. We're not saying that. We're saying trust his word, because he's proved by, not just by dying, but by raising the dead. I mean, resurrection is so brilliant. He's proven it. You know what happened when he rose from the dead in Jerusalem? I don't know what I'd have felt like if I'd have been walking up the cemetery with my dog, you know, every day, and suddenly all the graves opened and the people came out and walked through the gates and went home. That is in there, the end of Matthew. When he rose from the dead, a whole bunch of believers rose as well. Isn't it something else? It's a bit exciting sometimes. Even Leviticus can, well, all right. How do we consider other people? Do we place a higher premium on what other people think and say about us? Can I be addicted to what other people think? You see, performance is an attitude, not a set of behaviors. I'm only acceptable when I live up to a standard. But he says immeasurable. Do you see what I'm saying? It's so, so important. You know, when Jesus started his ministry, well, who'd heard of him? Well, only the guys in, oh, is this Joe's boy? Joe's boy, the carpenter. He actually was a stonemason as well. They used to work down in a city for the Romans. Did you know that? Just down the road. Anyway, never mind. And did any, I mean, I'll tell you what would have got the people going, and the enemy comes in and says, here, Jesus, jump off that tower and you'll be all right. That would have been a miracle to get the people going, performance. Never tried that, neither have I, and I don't want to. But he could have done it all. Turn these stones into bread, you know. Do this, do that. But it's not around that sort of performance. It's not around giving him credit. It's not putting him far up the social rank. It's not an act to give value or esteem, a position of prominence. It's not an act to be accepted. Otherwise, we'd all have to measure up. And you know what? With the greatest of respect, we'd all fail. And I probably would be the worst. That's how it is. But we need to sweep that away, don't we? Just say yes or do something. So Jesus didn't have to prove a thing. Someone has said we remain trapped in living a pretend life out of an healthy concern for what people think. Stop pretending! Right, now I can start the message. Ha ha ha! 2 Kings 4. I've got 3 stories, but we'll only have 2. Do you think that's all right? No, we only need 2, really. No. All right, we'll see. Now, here's something that is interesting. Talk about austerity. Talk about pain and hurt. The wife of a man of the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But the creditor is coming to take the 2 boys as slaves." Now, we haven't got that far in austerity, have we? This is something else. She was so in debt, she had nothing in the house, really. And so the creditors were coming to take the young boys. Although in saying that, there's a lot of trafficking going on, isn't there? There's a lot of slavery that's been exposed. God help us to expose it more and deal with it. It's just incredible. But here it is here. And the prophet comes in, Elisha, and he says, well, what do you want me to do? And I'd have thought, hang on a minute. It's a bit like blind Bartimaeus. You remember him shouting, "Jesus, come over here!" And they always say, "Shut up," you know. Well, that was North, wasn't it? "Shut up." And he kept on shouting, and Jesus comes over and says to him, "Well, what do you want me to do?" I'd have gone, what? Isn't it obvious? What do you think he wanted? He wants his sight. It's obvious. But what was Jesus doing? What was the prophet doing? He wanted the person to respond. He did. And she did respond. And she said, well, she didn't on that. He said, "Okay, what have you got in your house?" This is when she responded. I can hear a crab. Is it a crab? Oh, Postman Pat. All right. We've got a crab. You press the top, it goes. I haven't got it. It's our granddaughter. I like it. What do you want? No, seriously, what do you want him to do? Be careful. What do you want him to do? You might say, I want to be so blessed. I really would like to speak better than that guy speaking this morning. Do you really? Well, you can have your own pain to get there. I've got mine too. But what do you really want him to do? You want reality. You want life. Then he says, okay, what have you got in your house? And she says, what does she say? She says, I've got nothing. I've got nothing. And she looks around her house. She says, hang on. I've got something. She says, it's so small. I've got a little jar of oil. That's all I've got. And he said, that'll do. And she says, what? That's all. And what do you want him to do? And then he'll say, well, what have you got in your house? What have you got? And you say, oh, I haven't got much. But you've got a little bit of oil, haven't you? You've got a measure of the Holy Spirit. Is that right? You say, it's not much. And he says, it doesn't need to be measured. Because you'll never reach the limit that the whisper in your head wants you to reach. Because that's not of me, says God. It's the enemy. And you think, I've only got a little something. And the prophet said, that's enough. And I want to say to you, you may not think you've got much, but that is enough. So what did he say? Oh, this is just crazy. He says, go around the doors. Go door knocking. Go evangelizing. What? Go round to your neighbors and friends and ask them for empty jars. You see, in one way, there's a lot of empty jars that walk around this campus, that walk around the country town. Is it a country town, Ormskirk? With much more less people than the masses that go to this university and all that sort of stuff. There's a lot of empty jars. So he's saying to her, go out, get as many empty jars. Imagine these great Alibaba things and these little stone jars. There was no saucepans and stuff, was there? But you know what I mean. No aluminium stuff. And she filled the house with these empty jars. It's amazing, really, because he took her step by step. If he would have told her at the beginning what he thought was going to happen, she never would have done it. And that's a bit like God. I can't tell you really what God's going to do to any of you. Aren't you pleased about that? I'm really pleased, to be honest. But I tell you, you're on the edge. If you're not, please get out the cave. I feel like you're ready for another gear, another level. What does that mean? I haven't got a clue. But be prepared. And he says to her, you may not have much, but we've got to use what you have. Fill the house with these empty jars. And she did. And imagine all the neighbors gossiping, eh? Imagine the curtains moving, looking at this little family, this grieving family going around. She's using her boys to go on the doors. How disgusting. You imagine all that sort of going on. But they did it. And okay, he said, then go inside, shut that door behind you. And you see the oil that you have? And she says, yeah, just about. It's not much there. Just about. And he says, pour out the oil into all of these jars. And she looked at the size of them and what she had as oil, and it wasn't logic. God is going to surprise you. I'm sure someone said that earlier. God's going to do much more. He's going to do immeasurably. Now, here's the key. We can all sit on our rumpas. That's Norwegian, but it means what you think it means. And say, yeah. But at the end of the day, maybe you need to do what that little lady did, or that man with Jesus. That man took Jesus at his word. And she says, all right. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's not reasonable. It's impossible. But our God is a God of the impossible. I mean, fancy coming to a little 14, 15-year-old girl and say, you're going to have a baby and he's going to be the Messiah. I mean, it's just jokeable, isn't it? We sort of read these things and we act them out at Christmas, but it's phenomenal. Nothing happened until she obeyed. She took a step forward, opened up the little bit of oil and started pouring. But when those jars got full up, those boys, their eyes came out. There's a bloke on the TV the other night on the news. His eyeballs sort of came out. Did you see it? It was so gross. But he's made a lot of money out of that. They used to sort of pop out. I can't do it, unfortunately. There, those boys really got, I think, touched by God. As she poured and poured, it didn't stop. And you know why it stopped in the end? It's because there are no more jars. And you have an eternal measure. What is that? That's a real contradiction, isn't it? But you have an eternal something of the Holy Spirit within you. But as you give out and as you pour, so God is going to fill up empty jars. Yeah. That's why you've got a boiler house, isn't it? Where is he? He's gone. He's out with the kids. You've got a boiler house. If you don't know, where is he? Oh, he's up there. Oh, hello. Look out, Andrew, you evangelist. God is going to surprise you. Talk about in quietness and in confidence is your strength. But there's an anointing for authority, Andrew. It's going to just explode. So if you get a chance, pray for him and see him healed. It's just amazing. You think, oh, I haven't got much. But you see, we get into measure. I've got to achieve, I've got to perform. Nay, 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 nay. No, you haven't. Just take him at his word. Will it be all right every time? Probably not. When you've seen someone healed dramatically, authenticated by medical examination, a person that had the same illness as my wife has now and she's not healed. Is that an answer? There's a mystery out there. Yeah. But I've seen God do too much to give up. Yeah. Haven't you? Yeah. And if you haven't seen that, hang around this lot a lot more. Because you will. It's true. We've seen miracles, haven't we? It's fantastic. You think, I don't qualify. Well, Gideon was known as Mr. Puniverse, wasn't he? I mean, who was he? He was the lowest of the low and beyond the bottom of the barrel. He was the least in his father's house of the least tribe of the whatever, whatever. And what happened? He got this great army around him of thousands and thousands, and God says too many. He ended up with 300. Well, they had more camels than that, the enemy, didn't they? It's just incredible. And you know what? God did the business. And it's somehow us responding to God with what we have and then trusting him to do the work. Amen. Is it difficult? Well, I've answered that beside the point. But obedience can overcome impossibility and difficulty, can't it? Yeah. Some of you might think I'm as dry as an old stick. Well, you know what dry old sticks are good for? Setting on fire. So there it is. Now, I want to give you the qualifications of those who move in the supernatural. Would you like me to do that? Yes. You're thinking, oh, glory to God. Here we go. Where's that Brian and Helen gone?
Don't know. I'll be having words with them now.
They need to come into the new ministry of Slap'em and Deck'em, don't they? Yeah. I miss them. Here's the qualifications of those who move in the supernatural. Ambitious, cowardly, disloyal, greedy, misunderstood simple instruction, didn't pray, critical, unloving, full of unbelief, doubt, funny with money, big-headed, selfish, power-hungry, and unfriendly. Yet Jesus never gave up on his 12 friends, did he? I mean, two of them wanted to call down fire on that unbelieving village. They wanted to do an Elijah. And Jesus says, what? You blockheads? He didn't say that, actually. What he did was wash their feet. That dealt with them. Talk about the servant heart, eh? We want fire, fire. You know, can you imagine it? I think we all... There's the rain and the wind coming. Glory. So it's not by might, not by power, but by my... Yeah, right. So what are you going to do? There it is. Let's put it back in its little thing. Maybe we should anoint you with this later in a few minutes, shall we? Because you might... trouble is, my prayer is going to be really bad. It's going to be a shake 'em and bake 'em and dice 'em and slice 'em. It's going to be a sort of a prayer, stir 'em up. Anyway. Mark chapter 2. I just gave you the second supernatural story about the person that was healed, and my wife hasn't been yet. So there's a lot more to it. Another time, eh? I just want to... this is incredible. Classic story of Jesus. Put that back there. A few days later, Jesus was in Capernaum, and the people had heard that he'd come home. Now, to me, this is strange. How do people hear? I mean, I don't know what I'd do without my mobile, do you? Especially when Michael Bublé blasts out, you know, as my ringtone, you know. All right. But it's really loud, and I forget to turn it. I have turned it silent, but it just comes out. Or I've got this other thing. The text is like a Sherwood Forest clarion call. Burr, 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 burr. And that's come out in meetings because I forgot that one. And people think, anyway, what would we do? We got all these social networks. I can just about do 15% of my iPad. But how did they know? Was it Pigeon Post? Time after time, masses of people turned up in the world. It's amazing. But they picked it up. We think, if I can't use my texting, nobody will know anything. Just a little thought, really, isn't it? So they were gathered around the house. Some say it was one of Peter's, the fisherman's houses. And there they were, filled the whole house. They were outside, a great crowd of people outside, looking through the window and the door and all that sort of thing. And the whole house seemed to sort of go into condescension. I said the wrong word, condensation. It was so hot. The walls were creaking, you know. It's just, Peter was having a fit because he'd forgotten to pay his household insurance. That's not in there, by the way. And Jesus preached the word, it said. Now, in Luke, the same story as in Luke, but it says this little line. It says, the power of the Lord was present to heal. Now, isn't that interesting? So they were in a situation in that house where the power of the Lord was present. I'm interested in that because it says to me, in one way, we could be in a place where the power of the Lord wasn't present to heal. But it was there, was present. And I want to be in those situations all the time, whether it's in here, and the presence of God is here as we have been communicated with, but he's here. Not only is he here within us, but corporately, it's synergy, isn't it? It's a greater sense, and I think he's just in the atmosphere, don't you? The presence of God. Well, what enemy would want to stay in here? Anyway, there he was, and he's speaking. And so there's power there. There's something happening. And there's four guys that had this guy that couldn't walk. He was crippled, and they thought they'd bring him to Jesus. So this guy who couldn't walk had nothing to do with it. And he gets in a bit of a bad way later, as you might imagine. So that it says, and these four came. If it had been me and seen the crowd, it had been, and these four went. Because there was this great blockage, this great restriction, this great wall of people. So they put him down because there's no way could they get into the house. Well, no probable way they could get into the house. And one of them, it says, as a revelation. There they are, verse 3. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they had a revelation. And one of the guys says, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll push back the crowd a bit. We'll take him up the steps to the roof. Now, it wasn't a pitched roof. Do you understand? It was a flat roof. And what they did, and the guy on the stretcher is beginning to get upset, you know, he's beginning to bleep an asterisk a little bit. Wouldn't you? what are you going to do with me? You know, can you imagine it? And they say, shut up. And so they push through, put him down on the flat roof. And they get out their pickaxes and pneumatic drills, don't they? What do? They use their fingers and begin to break through the roof, which was sort of straw and mottled stuff and clay stuff. Is that about right? Yeah. And probably a bit of timber there somewhere. So there they are, scratching, and he's going berserk, this guy. And there's Jesus. Actually, Jesus, I think, was stood in the corner of the room, and he's speaking, and Peter is freaking out, and there's a little bit of a flake of something drops down, you know. Are you in there with me? Yeah. When suddenly, the whole ceiling falls in. I think it's so hilarious. That's why Jesus was in the corner, because he had a word of knowledge. Do you know what Jesus did first? If you do, don't tell me, I'll tell you. He took the pencil from behind his ear and gave an estimate for a new roof, because he was a... Oh dear, so bad. That's not in there, but anyway. I think it's funny, but I don't know whether I made that up or not, but anyway. And there's this, it all clears. Peter's apoplectic, that'll do. And there's four heads, hello, can you imagine? Hello, four heads came through the roof. Get out of the way! And this guy was screaming with anger and emotion. And also, we're going to drop him down. I mean, what a meeting to be in. Isn't it brilliant? The whole house collapses, as it were. You know, it's so disruptive. Well, we have had a few like that, which I won't tell you about. As long as God's in it, I don't mind, because, you know, it makes a good story further on, doesn't it? At the time, we're all freaked out. And this is, to me, this is the funniest thing. There they are, he's down on the ground, there's the four heads looking through, and everyone's gone quiet, and Jesus looks at him and says, your sins are forgiven. And one of them, looking through, says, what? We didn't bring him here for that. You know, we brought him a long way, pushed through the crowd, up the steps, dig a pigging hole in the roof. And Jesus, you've said the wrong thing. What is going on? We want him healed. Don't matter about his sins forgiven. Hang on, does it? Isn't that interesting? You won't see that in many of the stories. But Jesus knew that that man had something in his heart which was like a barrier. It was like a bit of a roof. Now, what I like about this story is this. Desperate men and desperate women take the roof off to find Jesus. Interesting, isn't it? So he says, your sins are forgiven. Now, he did it because I think the man needed something. And the man probably went, oh, that's worth it all, whether I get up or what. Something was released. Isn't that fantastic? Well, there were men, only men, not women, ladies, you're all right. There were some real fausty men in that room. You know, the religious leaders and the Pharisees and all that lot. And when they said that, something went off in their minds or their spirits or wherever it was. And they began to think, because they didn't say it, what? Why does this fellow, talk like that? He's blaspheming, because only God can forgive sins. And Jesus picked it up in his spirit. Isn't that amazing? I mean, when we see him literally face to face, are you going to be happy? Yeah. Are you going to be apprehensive? I am. What, you know, because his eyes, talk about blazing fire. Flip me. I still want to see him though. Because one look, it all goes. Anyway. Jesus knew in his spirit what they were saying. So he says, all right then, He says, what's the easiest thing to do? Is it easier for me to say your sins are forgiven? Or is it easier for me to say to that crippled man, pick up your mat, get up and go home? Do you know what they said? That's quite all right, doesn't matter. Do you know what they said? Do you know what they said? Nothing. Do you know why? Because they knew only God could forgive sins, and they knew only God could raise up that man. So the answer was only God or only God. So they said nothing. I think that was probably wise. Don't you? So he says, in order to show you that the Son of Man, which was him, which is a Daniel. Who said about Daniel earlier? Yeah, a Daniel vision has authority on earth to forgive. In other words, authority has the, nearly there, right to forgive sins, because he had the right and still has, because he's alive. I'll tell that man to heal, to be healed. Now, if it was you or me, well, if it was me, I'd 40-day prayer and fast, wouldn't you? I'd get this great long prayer ready. I'd cast them out, cast them in, rebuke anything going. You know, I'd do the whole works, wouldn't you? I wouldn't anoint him, would I? I'd pour an old jar over him. I've had that once. It's a bit messy. I didn't like it much, but there we are. I had to drive home from Glasgow with a wet head, and it all dripped on me clothes. Anyway, I'd do all that. What did Jesus? He didn't even pray. I mean, I think we pray sometimes when there's no need. Then we don't pray when there's a need. Do you see? He says, get up and go home. Hang on. What kind? Get up and go home. The man was so surprised, he jumps up, rolls up his stretcher, and walks out. What a meeting. Isn't it amazing? What does the end say? Oh, it says, this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, here, they said, we never heard anything like this. We never seen it at all. What's going on? What a way to end a meeting, isn't it? That's it. What a way. They were amazed. God amazes me so often when I read this sort of stuff and sometimes see a few things. And I go, don't even think about measuring up. Don't even think about it. By the way, we've all failed, but we're not failures. Are we? No. We're all frail and human. And occasionally, I'm not right. If Chris was here now, I'd get a look. You know that look, yes, yeah. Of course, we're blockheads. Don't think about you have to please him. He's already pleased. Therefore, when you say you haven't got much in your house, you are now knowing you've got enough to give to God, who would take what you have and create a miracle. But are you desperate enough to take the roof off? Because I think this is part and parcel of you going to another level, actually. Because you might get drawn into something. You might find a release of the Holy Spirit gifting within you and the release of your natural abilities and academic prowess. Nothing wrong with that, is there? Nothing. To be used for God. Anything could happen. But here's what I long to see the miracles happen through my eyes again, don't you? And again, I long for us to see God move in great power. Listen, if he moves through you and I'm there watching, I'm going to give God the glory. I don't care who it's through. We're too old to fluff around. That's what some of us are. Just want to see it happen, don't you? What are we going to do? I got 12 minutes and I need to go. Do you mind? If you do, you better come with me. Well, I finished. Now, you might be desperate for prayer because you're like a dry old bunch of sticks. I suggest you come out pretty quick, if that is you. But I'm looking for desperate men and women. Now you know you've got enough, however piddly it is. I mean, how small can that be? It's inside this little thing. I'll take it out again. Desperate men and women. I like these two. Do you know why? Because they're greedy for God. Is that a problem? Not to me. I'm thrilled to bits. Well, I'm not going to ask you to come again. Do what you like.